Welcome to Words of Grace Audio, where we clarify, amplify, and apply issues raised in the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, other topics are addressed. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life. It's Tuesday, December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Jeff.
Merry Christmas to you, Scott.
It's been a good year.
It has. We're wrapping up the year. This Words of Grace podcast will be, I guess, the second to last. We'll do one more next week.
Yeah.
But we are finishing up our Advent season at Grace. This is the fourth week, and this is the fourth gospel that you and the elders have tackled.
So what do you think? How do you think this has gone? Four perspectives of the one Christ.
You call it four
gospels,
faces. Four faces of Jesus. And I think it's been really great because you don't often have the chance to see a book in its entirety. And you know, I imagine that's a harder thing for you to do in preparation for a sermon because it's just so much content.
You know, you have to
kind of get the 30,000-foot view. But I've really enjoyed seeing, you know, books from beginning to end in the way that you guys have been presenting them. So
it's been a great exercise. I would certainly encourage people to do that in their own study. You know, just take a week and just pick one book and see how you would pull out the main theme of the book and then how you would support that and in terms of the teaching and the application. And it's very encouraging personally to do it, as hard as it might be to
It's funny because that just reminded me of like a school assignment, like take the entire book of so-and-so, come with it, you know, what are the motifs, what themes come out, critical writing or whatever. But yeah, I thought it was, I think it's been good. And and the Gospel of John, you mentioned, is different than the other three because he wrote it after the other three were already written.
Right.
And so he already knew that those were out there, knew he didn't need to rewrite those stories in the same way.
Yeah, that's kind of an early church leader thought on the take on it, that John was kind of giving, kind of knew he was going to take it in a bit of a different direction.
Yeah, which I liked to hear
that. Yeah, wasn't needing to do the factual that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do.
Right, and so he, instead of saying Jesus was born, he says the Word was made flesh.
Yeah.
So that's what's called the incarnation.
Yeah.
So let's unpack what that means in the Book of John. You know, you split it up into basically two halves, the Word and then made flesh.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that a little bit later, but the incarnation.
Yeah, so John kind of, you know, he kind of gives us the definition of the incarnation. Incarnation is a word that Christians use to refer to the fact that the Son of God took on humanity. So the way John puts it is the Word, who he identifies as the Son of God, became flesh, which we understand to mean human. So the Son of God took on humanity. The Word became flesh. And so that really is the definition of the incarnation. And the Gospel of John puts that before us very clearly. The other Gospels obviously talk about it because the Son of God is born of a Virgin Mary.
Right.
In
and he
Bethlehem.
Claims his own deity
within
those Gospels.
That's right. So where the other Gospels give you the kind of the details, the historical details, John gives you the definition of the incarnation. And it's, you know, as we talked a bit of on Sunday, it's different than just a visitation. Of course, he did visit us, but we use visitation a lot in poetic terms. But, you know, like if we're writing songs or poems, we might talk about the when God visited or the visitation of God. But, you know, really what we're talking about is more than a visitation. Because God didn't just come to us. He, God the Son, became one of us. And so, so the implications of that are just huge. Everything is explained by the incarnation. All the miracles that Jesus did can be explained by the fact that he's the Son of God who became man. The cross, the effectiveness of the cross is explained by the fact that it's the Son of God dying for our sins. You know, the resurrection is explained by the fact that God raised his own son from the dead.
Right. That was a huge
thunderclap.
Right,
I don't know if that's going to come through on this podcast, but
I'm
I want
sure
you to know,
it will.
Jeff and I just, we just kind of came up out of our chair about an inch.
I'm just glad that the podcast is still rolling. That, yeah. You know, didn't get cut off there. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that was some kind of visitation, but not, but not an incarnation.
Well, getting back on track here. Yeah. So the, one of the ways you explained it was that God had expressed himself.
Yeah.
And in Jesus,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so a word is an expression, you know, mm-hmm. So that, I think that, I thought that was a very poetic way of putting it.
Yeah, self-expression, self-revelation of God mm-hmm. in Jesus, yeah.
All right, yeah. So Jesus coming and being close to people
mm-hmm.
and friends with people, sitting around table talking.
Yeah.
Having feet, which you brought out on Sunday as a, you know, one of the things that John talks about a lot in the second half of the book. It helps us to get a grasp of who he is, you know, to be able to sort of touch and feel him through John's account here.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that, and that helped John and the disciples to love Jesus because mm-hmm. he was right there with them.
Mm-hmm.
So how does it help us to love him that he was flesh and blood?
Yeah. John has an intimacy to it
mm-hmm.
in relation to Jesus and his disciples that I think is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You see in John the physicality, a physical closeness
mm-hmm.
between Jesus and his disciples. For instance, you have the story of Mary anointing Jesus' feet
mm-hmm.
With perfume as a way to prepare his body for death and burial. And then you have Jesus washing the disciples' feet
mm-hmm.
at the Last Supper. You have the John, the writer of the Gospel of John, identifying himself as the one whom Jesus loved. And then you have a picture of him at that Last Supper, reclining around the table, leaning so close to Jesus that he's actually leaning on him. He's touching him.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these physical images that convey to us a sense of friendship and intimacy. And I think there's something powerful about that as we try to understand how it is that we relate to Jesus and how we walk with Jesus and how we obey Jesus. So first of all, we can understand that there is a level of friendship that we have with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh,
mm-hmm.
because he actually says in John, that the greatest love you can have is to lay down your life for a friend. And then mm-hmm. he turns to his disciples and says, you are my friends if you do what I command you to do. So he's calling the disciples a friend there.
Mm-hmm.
So we as Christians can understand that we are worshiping a sovereign creator God who is incredibly beyond us, infinitely beyond us,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but then who has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, one that we also enter into a friendship with through yielding to his lordship and obeying his commands.
Mm.
So it's very powerful.
Mm.
And then along with being the friend of Jesus and having an intimate relationship, and by the way, just to stay on that point, mm-hmm. John 15 is where Jesus himself says to his disciples, he talks to them about abiding in him
yeah.
and he in the disciples. So again, you've got this intimate relationship. Now, along with that, then you've got the carrying out of our love and our obedience to Jesus
mm-hmm.
is also seen in the fact that he became a man. And that is when he washed the disciples' feet, he said, I want you to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get this image, this not an image, you get this idea, this truth about our discipleship that it is highly practical
mm-hmm.
and even carried out physically in our bodies. So another thing, I don't want to get too technical here but or deep here, but you know, another thing that is known about John is that he's writing in what scholars call a pre-Gnostic period. And Gnosticism was this philosophy that said the world of the spirit and of the mind and of concepts and of knowledge was good, and the world of the body and the flesh and matter was bad.
Okay.
And so then you have the Word. So they say, yeah, we like the Word. That's concept. Mm. That's mm-hmm. knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, that's spirit. But then John says, became flesh.
Right.
oh, wait a minute. So that kind of sets Gnosticism on its head. It's like, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
And he said, well, because matter is not bad. It's created by God.
Mm.
And so here I am, a follower of Jesus in a physical, real body.
Mm-hmm.
And my Savior, the Son of God, became a man
mm-hmm.
like me.
Mm-hmm.
And he had feet.
Mm.
And he lived among us.
Which I guess was hard for the Gnostics to believe, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the physicality of it was scandalous to them.
Right, right.
So how do I carry out my obedience in my real body?
Mm-hmm.
Paul picks up this theme later in Romans chapter 6 when he says we present our bodies as instruments of righteousness to God.
Yeah.
So I follow Jesus in this world in my real body and real practical obedience to other real human beings in real bodies really does matter.
Right.
This is a way that I love Christ by loving people and serving people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Jesus by carrying out obedience in my brain and my hands and my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to talk sexual ethics, in my sexual organs,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know that you know gets a little graphic or a little whatever for people, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, well, you know, I can love God in my mind and then carry out in my my sexual life any way I want to.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Right.
You know, because you don't separate this spiritual and material. You say, no, the material body, including my whole physical body, that includes my working and my sexuality and everything else, is given over to God for His glory in obedience to Him to be ordered around His truth and His commands.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I went a little longer than I intended to there, but that was the point. Yeah. Maybe fleshing it out a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah. One more little rabbit trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm noticing as we're talking, we have the closeness of God, Him becoming friends with the disciples and calling them His friends, but the friendship with Jesus came with it if you
obey
do
me.
What I command.
Keep my commands. Yeah.
Commands. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a human friendship that we would have here because we don't obey our friend's commands.
Right.
And so we can't think of God in those terms, right? And we have to think of Him as both the intimate and the sovereign.
Yeah, He's always Lord.
Right.
And I think I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I get a little nervous sometimes about this language because there are temptations for some to make Jesus like a buddy.
Right.
Who's going to, quote, get it if we don't quite get it.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, cut some slack and all these kinds of terms that we use about friendships. You know, we think friendship is about overlooking sin or about cutting slack, you know. And so we kind of buddy up Jesus, and I'm really, that's not at all what Jesus is saying.
Right.
Some people have romantic notions of Jesus. They so humanize Him that they have these romantic, you know, ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've even, you know, seen, this is kind of weird, I know, but I've even, you might want to cut this out of the podcast, I don't know. But, you know, I remember years ago as a youth pastor and you know, sometimes kids would even kind of romanticize, you know, Jesus is my boyfriend kind of an approach.
I'm going to date Jesus. I'm not going to date you.
Yeah, stuff like that. And, it, you know, I think what Jesus is he's not going there.
Right, right.
He is saying that he died to reconcile us to God, and He is Lord, and we live under His lordship in obedience to Him. Intimately, yes,
right.
But in obedience to Him as Lord, and therefore that He calls that a friendship with Him.
Yeah,
and so it's different than just being buddies.
It's kind of the same, the Abba thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a father, but it has that closeness to it.
Yeah, that's correct. I do think sometimes the whole daddy approach to God can be overplayed, and when He's really a father who as a father shows us what true fatherhood is versus He's a daddy like the one we've got.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we will wrap up the year next week.
That's right. Thanks,
and,
Jeff.
Christmas Eve, for those who are listening, hopefully we'll get this out today. Christmas Eve services are tomorrow. And I look forward to that.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Now my best.